WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
When you actually listen to those lyrics, they're very, very weird. Anyway, this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive chat. If you have that Amazon Prime, what you can do with it is link your Amazon account to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use code RocketSocket before 9 a.m. sharp. And buy all the weird emotes and DC skins and all the likes and things. Hashtag epic partner. There is no Tim Stein tonight. He's doing father things. But that won't stop us from previewing Money in the Bank, the earliest Money in the Bank preview anyone's ever done. Because we won't be here next week. Because we're Bindor. Anyway, I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. That is the intern, Kane Kittens.
That's
all you got?
I'm doing the sub. What's that?
That's a last night's show. That's last night's gimmick.
Oh.
You're supposed to talk on this one. Like, that's,
Oh, okay. What's up, everyone? Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. We still have 1.5 Canadians on the show, even without a Tim Stein.
The other one is Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I did all my fatherly stuff earlier today, so I could be here, slash he had to go back to his mom's. But hey, I'm excited to preview Money in the Bank 2 weeks early.
Yeah, thoughtful analysis 2 weeks early, because we have matches. There are matches, thankfully. Thankfully, they've given us matches to talk about tonight.
And I mean, if you keep an eye on our social medias, we'll update the pick'em as it gets closer to the date, so don't you worry.
No, we won't.
We will talk about those after the show.
No, we
two
won't.
Weeks from now, won't we?
Yes, we will. Don't listen to Brent. Yes, we will update the social
media. I will talk about them 2 weeks from now.
There you go. We're going to talk about Money in the Bank in 2 weeks on, what is it, the 2nd?
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I might be here to talk about them 2 weeks from now. I'm going to the wonderful, beautiful British Columbia for a wedding the night before, but I will be bringing my laptop because I should have some downtime that I could probably mess around for 2 hours and talk about a show.
Don't know if I've ever heard British Columbia referred to as beautiful and wonderful before.
Oh, well, I mean, the license plate actually says beautiful British Columbia on it, and I think it's both beautiful and wonderful.
You shill.
No, I mean, I'm not even from there. I just think it's parts of it are pretty.
Everyone I've ever heard has said it's beautiful British Columbia, so it's
on the license plate.
It's their tagline. It's what they're known for.
Yeah, but that's like saying Washington is beautiful, and we all know that's a lie.
Well, is it on the license plate?
I don't know. I don't read the license plates.
Exactly. It's not.
I'm too busy driving.
Oh, they pick them on the TikTok. The TikTok is the worst. Worst platform.
Wait, we have a TikTok?
Technically, we have a TikTok.
I was going to say, technically we do.
At WTR Live, do I use it often? No. When do I have a good Fortnite clip? Yes. Is that often? No. So, or a wrestling clip or whatever from 2K. So, yeah, we'll update them on the things, on the socials. So there's that. But we'll get to Money Bank in a bit. We're going to save that for later because we have other things to talk about besides Money in the Bank. Because last night, Collision for AEW started.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ring of Honor.
It was Ring of Honor New Japan without it calling it Ring of Honor New Japan with the commentary.
Yeah, it really was. NXT UK thrown in there as well.
I am super happy. I was super happy to hear Kevin Kelly when Collision came on.
It was good. No, I wasn't saying it's bad, but it's what you get from the commentary of Ring of Honor and New Japan is those two voices, and
that's true.
You can mix it all together.
I mean, they did say they were going to try and do something different.
They did say they were going to try and do something different, and I appreciated them trying to do something different. The biggest change I noticed was that we
John is their theme song.
That, and we actually knew what the matches were coming up in the upcoming days and weeks ahead because they didn't read them at a very fast pace. When Kevin Kelly said TBS, not TBS champion, you knew they slowed down the promotion of the matches and that two of them had to handle the promotion of it at the end. Which was great.
Yeah. I was honestly a big fan of Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness. They worked pretty good together.
They had nice chemistry. I would agree.
Yeah.
They were a good choice because it did make the show sound different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Kevin Kelly is very like specific type of commentary. Like, I know he does a lot of the English New Japan stuff on his own a lot. So, like, you know that he can carry a show if he really needs to. And he does a really good job. And you can tell that he, like, he looks into the wrestlers and he does the research and he knows what he's talking about. And then every time he's got, you know, having Nigel as a former wrestler to add some color to that commentary, I just thought it was great.
Yeah, it was good. Did the show overall feel different than Dynamite?
Parts of it felt like Rampage.
I don't get Rampage, so I can't make that comparison. But I mean, it can't be like drastically different like night and day. It's still an AEW show. That's like asking if SmackDown and Raw were drastically different because they're not. Even if you look at NXT, there are similarities to it because they use NXT as a platform for their newer stars to kind of get used to the, you know, get their reps in before they hit the big TV shows. So
that's a good point because it shouldn't feel different. It should look different and have different announcing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the product should feel the same and on par, which, because Brent mentioned Rampage, you don't want it to feel like a secondary show. You want it to be on par with the main product. And I thought,
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was pretty close to Dynamite.
That's a good thing. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's a good thing it felt on par because you want it to feel that way and be that way and not, hey, week one, oh, it's on par. And then we watch it slide and slide and slide down to an afterthought.
One thing I will say, I wish for Collision, they do something a little bit different and feature more than one women's match on a show.
Yeah,
they did four men the same way as Dynamite. I was like,
it's the exact same format. It's we're gonna have the one woman's match, we're gonna, you know, have like the hot opener, which of course you always want to do. You've got your main event, and then it's like that middle just kind of felt a little filler.
What,
with the women's match being placed exactly at the same time as Dynamite?
As normal. The filler was the four way scissor.
The what I called the Rampage match of Miro just coming out,
but that
doing his thing,
Tony,
which is what he needs to do because he needs to come back.
Oh, that was, I thought that was great what they're doing with Miro, as long as they keep that momentum going. Absolutely.
And
they be able to keep the momentum going?
Yeah. Also, the quality of opponent he has to squash has to go up weekly.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Nese, no offense, is not going to be one of those, ooh, look at what Miro did. It'll be, yeah, it's Tony Nese.
No, but at the same time, like, I appreciate that, you know, they used a signed AEW talent over some guy from Chicago that I would normally wrestle.
Oh, yeah. No.
So, like, I think Tony Nese, because you can't, I don't want to knock Tony Nese because he is a hell of a worker. And so putting him in with a guy like Miro to, like, basically start that engine was a smart move because Tony Nese can make people look really good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying the fact that Tony Nese is not good at being in. You know, an enhancement.
No, yeah. What you need to do, you're taking the people you would have usually featured on Dark and Dark Elevation and let him go up that ladder in terms of the quality of the talent that was on that show before he gets to the low end of Dynamite and so on and so forth of talent. Like, we see this with WWE and what they're doing with, in this year, they beat up jobbers for a while, the local talent. Now they're on Shelton and Cedric. After a while, the quality of talent has to go up because what we see for a long time with Omos, he just was squashing people that you didn't know. And that gets old after the first 2 weeks. So it's like, if Miro's going to be dominant, let him dominate different people at higher level, because then when he dominates, for example, Ricky Starks, if he goes in there and just whoops Ricky Starks' ass, then it's very believable because it means something because he's been beating all these other talents the exact same way, and he's like, he's unstoppable, so he should be the guy to challenge for a title, which we saw last night. Luchasaurus is TNT champion.
And it feels lacking.
It was one big meaty man slapping prehistoric meat.
Yeah. But also, it's the same thing of the disappointing part of that is, okay, Luchasaurus and Wardlow were going back and forth and beating the hell out of each other, and yet Luchasaurus needed that little bit to win.
Well, Christian needed his title.
Yeah,
I understand, and Christian needed his title and what it's ultimately going to lead to.
I mean, with how they're kind of driving that story, I'm okay with it, because you can clearly tell that Christian's going to walk around with that belt, pretending that he won the belt, pretending that it's his belt, and then Luchasaurus just does all of the basically in-ring work while Christian Cage pretends that it's him doing all the in-ring work. I think it's an interesting angle. If it was just Luchasaurus versus Wardlow and Christian wasn't involved and they kind of did it that way, I'd be a little more sour than I am.
And also, show is very telling where Wardlow stands. Is like, he went from being unbeatable to very beatable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I still contend AEW does not know how to book in the long run a big guy. As many decent big guys as they have behind the scenes that could help with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they did do Wardlow. I think they did him a little dirty, but just based on how they did it, I'm okay with it for now.
Okay.
This one is better than it was when he was losing to other people. Because this, you could tell there's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Because Powerhouse...
That's probably why I'm more okay with it, because it's... There's substance behind it.
Yeah,
because
the stuff with Powerhouse Hobbs is like, now where's Powerhouse Hobbs? Not really doing much.
Cutting a promo with QT Marshall.
He said it to the Owen, so good for him. Maybe he'll win. Maybe Ricky Starks will win. Who knows? Also, going back to the women, Willow is great and all. Ooh, she could injure somebody, like we saw with Mercedes getting injured. She has that potential.
I think she just needs to slow down a bit. And, like, Willow's got that type of energy where you can tell that she's, like, she really likes what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much enjoy Willow's energy of, like, she is all in, but I think sometimes just the excitement of running around and doing a wrestling match is, I think she just needs to kind of, like...
She gets caught up in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. She gets caught, and I mean, I don't know how long she's been wrestling. I don't think it's that long.
I'm not sure, but the spot where she sent Ruby into the step, not a step, the guardrail, I felt bad for Ruby.
Oh, man, did I too. I was like, ooh. So, but if Willow had the same sort of experience as Ruby does and Tony Storm does, then she probably would have the wherewithal to kind of, like, you know, slow it down and make sure that she's not getting as caught up in the moment.
And that Ruby has a chance to actually protect herself, because for a second there, ooh, I thought concussion really quick. And
it looked like head first, not head first.
Yeah, it looked bad. But the trainers and then ref were right on it to check on her. So that was good.
Yeah. And Willow's pounce a fair bit, not all the time, but enough to be a little bit concerning, can catch some people off guard and have them landing in the ropes not great, or in that barricade like we saw last night. So it's just, she just has to just be a little bit more cognizant of that, but she'll pick it up because I'm sure Ruby and or Tony had a little chat with her about it after.
Because it was that
probably
spot.
Ruby.
It was probably, but there was another spot, I think on Ruby too. It was, I guess, the Death Valley driver, whatever it was. It looked almost like, almost.
Yeah, it was a bit close. Yeah. So, I mean, the nice thing about having, you know, people like Ruby and Tony in that company in the women's division and wrestling people like Willow and Sky Blue is that after the match, they can all get together and you know, the vets can kind of give the new guys some pointers, and hopefully they will be accepting of those pointers and going forward become better wrestlers because of it.
Indeed.
Or they'll just go into a press conference and talk about, you know, how they work with children.
They can't. they in fact are the children.
They are the children. You mean the guy who called out the counterfeit bucks? One Bill Phil.
I'm not trying to like stir the pot. I'm actually just ignorant. Who's this guy that CM Punk was talking about?
I have no clue. I think they Warner.
Is it a Chicago thing?
No, I think it's one of the Warner Media guys.
Oh.
One of the heads. I think that's who he was referring to.
Okay.
If you're an average person, you no one would notice, and no one he's referring to. But everyone knew the counterfeit bucks. Everyone knew that one, and they changed their Twitter bio to reference it. So
now could be work, could be shoot. Who knows? At this point, I have zero investment in any of that stuff.
I put this out on Twitter. I hope they buried the hatchet at least, just on the surface at least. So if you're gonna take shots, at least it's like, hey, here's what we're doing. Because if you're just taking shots and then there's no payoff, what's the point?
Exactly. Well, and I mean, I think Samoa Joe kind of referenced it when he was asked about the whole thing, and he's like, well, they're grown ass men and it's their problem to deal with and I have nothing to do with it. That's kind of how I, and if you listen to, there was an interview with Kenny a few months ago saying that, you know, he was like, well, I'm pretty sure everybody on all sides feels pretty bad about what happened. So you can tell he's obviously trying to get past it. If you listened, read, or were referred to the ESPN interview that Punk did the other day, he seems to want to bury the hatchet. I mean, sure, he took, you know, I reached out to the Bucks lawyers and they didn't respond. Well, I mean, they're lawyers. But it seems like everybody's trying to move on. So it leads me to believe that those are just, you know.
Because he had to say something about it, because if he didn't,
then it would become the big story.
It would be the bigger story. So he got his shots in. He took shots at wrestlers being soft and the counterfeit box. Interesting. So he's calling himself the world champion without calling himself the world champion.
Well, we don't know what's in that bag.
No, he made reference to.
Yeah, I know, like, he did.
Yeah.
I didn't just have the best collar dog collar match. I won the dog collar match.
Yeah.
There was that, and he said, I can't, or, you know, what I have in this bag, I'll have until someone pins or submits me.
Yeah.
So
I think that was the most interesting.
I mean,
part.
As of right now, it's all hearsay. We won't know if anything comes out of it until something does or does not come out of
it. He'll be the AEW Universal Champion, and then they'll do a unification match. He'll be undisputed.
Brock, I hate you.
No, he'll be the AEW Intergalactical World Champion, and then they'll do a unification and have undisputed, and then they'll carry two belts and then make a third belt.
And still carry the
will
two
it
belts.
Be a Burberry belt as well?
No, it wouldn't be Burberry, because you'll have to do some other fancy thing for it.
It'll be Vuitton then.
There you go. So there he had the promo, and then we saw the New Heart Foundation in the ring in the main event.
To be fair, they did a good job in this match of protecting Punk and letting him go slower, considering the fact that it's his first time in 10 months.
Yeah, he didn't do much. He did his spots.
I mean, he got the crap chopped out of him by Joe.
Good.
Yeah, Joe was good. Joe brought the receipts for everyone in the match.
Oh, he let, and I mean, there's a very good chance that when they talked, Joe's going to be like, listen, Phil, I'm going to hit you. And Phil's probably like, yeah, I know, Joe.
I ain't going easy on you. I'm just saying.
And boy, did he not. Holy, like, dang.
It's good. You wanted to see it. He needed to get that feel again. And if he's going to be a worker again, I mean, he might as well take some shots. Cause
absolutely.
Probably the sore this morning, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Yep.
So overall, a successful debut for Collision.
I would say match-wise, yeah.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, it's hard to say because it's Chicago, but that crowd was pretty hot.
Yeah, if you're going to bring Phil back, it's smart to bring him back in Chicago. The real interesting one is going to be what happens next week. Because when they announced Phil was coming back, if you heard the crowd, it was partisan. And Chicago will always have his back, but we'll see what happens next. And also, we'll see how his promos may change a little bit. Because as he talked about in the beginning, you know, for those of you who have my back, you know, he was calling out like all the different signs. And for one of them, he made a reference to like a not so CM Punk one. And he was kind of like, okay. But then his new catchphrase is what? Like, tell me I'm lying or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. Also, it was CM Junk.
CM Junk.
Which caused a lot of rumblings on the internet.
Ah, whatever. It's the internet.
No, because I think someone got thrown out for holding the sign or something.
Oh.
That's what the rumblings was, not the actual, what the verbiage of it. It was, I think they got
the aftermath.
Well.
Yay!
Aftermath. So that's AEW. So we'll talk more about it as we go and things like that. But it's time for the earliest Money in the Bank preview of all times, because we're not here next week because we're watching Forbidden Door. Woot woot.
Woot woot.
Okay, Money in the Bank ladder match. For the men, it's Ricochet, Shinsuke, LA Knight, yeah, Santos Escobar, Butch, and Damian Priest. Who's winning, Brian?
Who do I think should win?
Yes, who do you think should win?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you listen to everyone around right now, they are fully supporting LA Knight. This is just legit groundswell. Not, you know, okay, we want to push him, so let's try and get behind him. This is, the fans have gotten behind him before WWE did, and now WWE is catching up. Plus, LA Knight is the perfect kind of person to hold that briefcase. It's made for someone like him. Like an Edge, you know, someone that can be the opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
And LA Knight with that briefcase and a microphone.
Oh yeah.
It's perfect because he'll tell everyone, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to call my shot. I'm going to go out there and then just, you know, run out there with the briefcase and then stop before he gets in the ring and goes, nah, not tonight. And it's just going to make you hate him and love him even more. Ricochet, could it help him? Sure. Do I think he's ready for it? No. And also, he's the kind of guy like a John Cena that's going to call his shot more than anything.
Okay.
I mean, who else is in it?
Shinsuke, Santos, Butch, and Damian.
Santos would be interesting, but I don't think he's there yet. You still have to build him. Butch, eh. The one thing I think is interesting is, I guess the rules have changed. Well, not changed, but now they've incorporated the Austin Theory rule. It doesn't have to be the world title.
Nope, but I think it will be for a world title. I don't think.
Oh, no, it absolutely should be, because if you go for the United States title, it feels very lacking. That, you know, oh yeah, you won this great big match to give you a title opportunity whenever you want it, and you used it for the secondary belt.
I mean, if they went after the Intercontinental, I'd be okay with it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because of who's holding it right now.
Yeah, Gunther has elevated that Intercontinental title where it needed to be.
Yeah, so like, that seems like opening up the opportunity to go after any title kind of makes it interesting based on who's in there. Like, I could see, and I would be behind, like, if Shinsuke won Money in the Bank and went after Gunther, that would be cool. But a lot of the other, like, I mean, LA Knight should go after the main title because of who he is and what he does, and it makes sense. Priest could go either way, but they're also planting those seeds because Finn's fighting Seth, so who knows.
And Butch is in this match because, well, it's in the UK, so.
Yeah, so they'll get some good Butch teases as he climbs the ladder. And
it'll make for good moments. Okay. Brett never gave a winner. He said Knight, and then he said everyone else.
That's my winner. I'm going to pick L.A. Knight as my pick for the Money in the Bank winner male.
Okay. Cage, who's your pick?
I think I'm also going to go L.A. Knight.
Okay.
I mean, because even if he wins that and goes after Seth's title, which seems the most likely out of the candidates here, I think that would be him just walking around, coming out and beaking at Seth periodically here and there, I think would be really good, having them go back and forth. So let's go L.A. Knight.
Then you have the women in Money in the Bank. It is Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, or Shotzi, Io Sky, versus Raquel or Trish. Bunch of names still that are in there. Only six of those names can compete, but they've given us a bunch of choices because there's opportunities this week where Bailey's putting her shot on the line, and Raquel and Trish are battling on Monday.
Well, let's really call it what it was. Io put Bailey's spot on the line.
Io put Bailey's spot on the line, yes.
And Bailey looked at her like, what? What are you doing?
Do we think Bailey's not going to compete?
I mean, it would further things. It would.
But I think you need Bailey's star power in this match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in the UK, with it being the first big pay-per-view. Because, don't get me wrong, Clash at the Castle is awesome. But this is a very specific, you know, money in the bank premium live event.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like you need the people there. You want to make sure that this is a big time thing.
Because Shotzi's great and all, but I don't see her winning either women's championship.
No, the only reason Shotzi would be in the match is to be a ladder bump monkey.
Do you think Trish gets in? Or does Becky screw her out of the opportunity?
I feel like Becky's going to screw her out of the opportunity.
I think something's going to happen. Trish won't make it because I think the other person in that match is a very intriguing choice to win, possibly.
Who, Raquel or Zoe?
Raquel.
You think Raquel's going to win it?
I think Raquel...
They should have someone with size in that match, so I think Raquel's going to beat Trish. But not because Raquel beats Trish, because Becky costs Trish.
Yeah. I think Raquel winning it can help set her up for that next step. Because you were gonna have something there with Raquel and Liv as tag champs, possibly, and then Liv decided to just wreck her shoulder.
Well, she didn't decide to. It sort of happened.
I know. You know what I mean. But it just kind of derailed things for Raquel. And honestly, do you think anyone's going to complain if we possibly get a Raquel Gonzalez Rhea Ripley match out of this? No.
So your pick is Raquel?
For this, I'm going to go Raquel. You're still going to have the storyline of Becky, Zoe, and Trish in this match, even if Trish doesn't make it. And I don't know if Trish... You can still have Trish involved in the match and still have her star power there without her having to be in the match.
Fair enough. Okay, she's winning this match.
Based on who's in it right now, and even if Raquel gets... Oh. At first, I was going to say Becky because I don't think she's ever won a Money in the Bank.
It's something she wants to accomplish. You mentioned it in an interview somewhere.
But with Zoe being there, and regardless of whether Trish gets in the match or not, she's going to get involved. And part of me thinks that the distracting combination of those two will cause Becky to either not do it or lose focus and someone else would get it. But I'm looking at the participants and I'm not sure who would win it out of who's there. I'm going to go ahead and pick Becky. I think they're going to give her the briefcase, mostly just for the accolade.
Okay.
Have it. And she seems likely to go after a title. I don't know which one, but...
I mean, Becky and Rhea wouldn't be the worst idea.
No, so but I think, yeah, Becky will win.
Speaking of Rhea, she'll be accompanying Dominic Mysterio to the ring to face Cody Rhodes. Thoughts?
Dom as a heel is entertaining. Cody's going to win. Actually?
You think it, because it can happen. It could happen. You know it.
Well, no, it...
You know it.
Dom is
it honestly, it makes sense to happen of having the Spectre that's following Cody Rhodes show up to, you know, set up the match for SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And only because it would get him so much more heat. And I don't mean Brock.
Because he can carry that on. That would be his, I'm the one to put the 1-21-1 moment for Dom. I beat Cody Rhodes single-handedly, even though it wasn't. I beat Cody Rhodes single-handedly. And then you put Dom in there against Seth Rollins at SummerSlam for the World Heavyweight title. No?
I mean, no.
No? You don't want Dom and Seth for the World title at SummerSlam? No?
Not at SummerSlam. They could do a Monday Night Raw.
I think Seth and Dom at SummerSlam can work as a match because you're going to have other big matches happening at SummerSlam as well.
And Dom's the most over heel they got.
That's what I was going to say. Dom is actually like your biggest heel on Monday Night Raw right now. Like he comes out and the fans hate his ass. You can't ask for more in terms of that.
So you're sticking with Cody?
No. Because I mean, if it weren't for the fact that Brock is hanging out there, if it was just Cody versus Dominic, then it would be, lol, Cody's going to beat him. But there's something involved with having Rhea out there, and Cody won't hit Rhea. They'll take the stuff from Rhea, but somehow she'll get neutralized. And then, like, the musical hit, or he... I mean, you already had him kind of come out there and do the screw job for Cody in the World Heavyweight Tournament match.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it just feels like he's going to do it to just add to that feud a bit more.
I mean, it's very possible.
And like we said, the whole thing about Dom wins, and then he'll be like, ha-ha, I got the win! And everyone will just hate his ass even more.
I mean, that's very possible.
Yeah, I'm going fucking Mysterio. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Cash, are you going Dominic?
No, I'm going to pick Cody.
Casey's going with his head.
It's the smart
one. And to just, you know,
offset. Yeah.
Seth freaking Rollins defends the World Heavyweight title if he can keep it, because he has two defenses this week coming up against Finn Balor.
We're going to get the demon!
Or maybe not.
Probably not.
You don't need the demon.
No, and that's the one thing I like about current Finn, is that it doesn't need the demon. He's got the edge to him already without needing the face paint and the music and all of the accoutrement. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we don't need the demon for it. Finn, I like that they're tying it all back to the initial, you know, hey, you cost me a year, you cost me the title, you cost me all of this, and now I'm going to cost you. So... I like that they're hearkening back to that. They're giving it a bit of history. And we always hear that, you know, oh, they don't play on the history of stuff. Well, now they're giving it to you. And that these guys have fought before for the world title. And now Finn's coming back for his retribution. No pun intended in terms of the groups.
But Seth is going over.
Yeah, no, Seth is going to win because he needs it. And I'm waiting for something like Finn is going to try and tell Damian, like, hey, you know, do something. And Damien's gonna kind of look at him and be like, nah, dog, you can do this on your own. Like, I'm not gonna help you with this. And that kind of plants the seeds further with what we're seeing with the Judgment Day.
What do you think, Cash? Is Seth retaining?
Yeah, I can't see any reason for him to drop the title now.
Okay. And then there's the Civil War of the Bloodline. SmackDown was great.
Oh, SmackDown was awesome. I love the way they played that all up. It was so good. They teased that Jey Uso turned, and it's just like, he's going to, you know, oh, God, he's going to fall in line. He's going to do all of that. And then he's just like, I'm out too. Wham! And the crowd went nuts.
Like, you didn't believe in me. But I'm out too. Wham! I kick. Uh-huh. So good.
And then there was the, you know, Solo going after Jay and Jimmy hitting him with the kick, and then just the double one to punctuate it all on Roman.
Fans after the show were chanting, you deserve it. You deserve
it. Oh, yeah. Because, as you know, Lindsay has talked about this on multiple shows leading up to this. We've seen this kind of Stockholm syndrome that Jay has been under this whole time. The fact that Roman has just beat him down mentally for, what, 2 years now? Year and a half?
Something like that, yeah.
He's just been beating him down and beating him down and beating him down. And it's like, you know, Jesus, how much more can Jay take? And it was, you know, like, yeah, it's his brother who first cracked and telling him, like, you know, I've watched you going through this for years and I can't take it anymore for you. And it's like, that little bit was just enough for Jay to kind of see the light. And so now it becomes the, like, do they try and recover their brother, or is it just, nope, Solo's in too deep, we just have to, you know, we've been the one since day one, we gotta stick with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So now it will be the battle of the Usos taking on Roman and Solo in a tag match. It's called the Bloodline Civil War.
I heard a rumor of what else they could do. I really hope they don't go that route.
What?
Someone said having a special referee of Rikishi.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, I heard that, I was like, no! That is the last thing this match needs.
No, yeah. You don't need that. Like, yeah, no.
I'm not, like I said, it was something I read. I'm not saying I agree with it. In fact, I am very much against it. But someone put that out there, and it's just, yeah, my answer is no. Do not want, do not need.
So who wins the Civil War?
part of me says the Usos need this one. Only because if the Usos lose this, then it becomes Roman like, you know what, I'm right, I'm the head of the table. And they kind of, you know, cut the Usos' legs out from under them, having them lose the tag titles twice.
Yeah.
And then this match. Whereas if you have Roman lose, now you get into that paranoia of, like, everything is starting to slip away. And, you know, does he start to question Solo? Or is it, you know, Heyman does something and screws up? So I feel like the Usos really need it in this instance.
What do you think, Cash?
Trying to think of scenario where Roman loses, but I'm not sure I see it. I mean, it's a tag match. The only thing is, like, Roman and Solo just lost a tag match. I don't know if they're going to do it twice.
Because now, if that does happen, then they're kind of weakening Solo and what?
Yeah, and they're, aside from losing in tag matches due to shenanigans, like, he's supposed to be this monster guy, but if they keep having him lose, it's kind of starts to devalue him, especially if it's a clean loss from the Usos. So unless they're going to have Solo completely walk away from Roman right away, and they're going to pull that trigger of having him drop his title at SummerSlam, which is still a couple of months out, so I don't think it's time yet. So I'm going to say that Roman and Solo are going to win.
Makes logical sense. So that's the early Money in the Bank preview out of the way. Good job.
We did it.
We did it. We made sure to talk about all the matches, and there'll be probably two more matches to come. What they are, who knows, but there'll probably be two more matches.
A women's title match?
Perhaps, because is Asuka Charlotte, that's on SmackDown, right?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure when that match is supposed to happen.
Because I thought that was supposed to be Asuka versus Charlotte.
Did they choose a date? I can't remember if they chose a date or
not. I thought they did, but I don't know. Because I think they're trying to... Because I know they're doing the pretty deadly Kevin and Sammy match on SmackDown the night before the premium live event. And I think they're doing this one the night before too, but we'll see. Since it is in London, so they're trying to load up both shows.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll get a women's match. If not, the woman can hold the briefcase for more than a day.
Yeah.
Which will be good. Because they never seem to make it out of the pay-per-view.
Unless you're Carmella.
Or Nikki. Everyone else.
Yeah, Nikki made it one day. One day.
Maybe they can make it back to North America with the briefcase.
Hey, that would be a start. But that'll do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Potion, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, it's Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio Live. Last night was Brent's favorite, Dad Jokes.
I hate you.
Casey loved them.
I did.
Brent hated him. But that's all part of the charm.
That's part of the shtick.
So, SuperRadioLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Sunday night, we're not here next week. Go watch Forbidden Door, because we are. So, we'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe with a Keishi. Hopefully possibly with a Tim. And we'll review Money in the Bank. So there's that. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and Instagram. It's at WTR Live on the TikToks. Stupid talk tick. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Now we're chatting. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Second to Fortnite Lamb Shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. Go follow Tim on Twitter for hockey opinions, even though there's no hockey. And he tweets about other things. Air quotes at Flamesforums. Ash, it's Father's Day. He's with his son. Brent's on the Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. That's where I have my wrestling talk, some other stuff that I discuss. I make friends on there sometimes. Maybe some more stuff coming at the end of the summer. We'll find out. But, yeah, you can find me there. And then also Saturday nights on CB Radio.
And Fortnite with Friends.
And Fortnite with Friends.
The new regular on Fortnite with Friends is Keishi. He's on the socials.
Yeah, I more often than not play Fortnite with Friends. In 2 weeks I won't be because I'll be at a wedding. But in the meantime and in between time, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Usually I just talk about what wrestling shows I'm going to be on and other wrestling shows in my area. But in the description is a link to my merch store at Redbubble. You can take a look at those, especially if you live in Canada and don't want to pay ridiculous international shipping because they ship that stuff local from this country. So it's not $20 for a t-shirt on top of $30 for a t-shirt.
Yay. So that will do it for this edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Check out all the programming all week long along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at twitch.tv/WTR Live.